Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you until 5 o'clock. And then it's time for the Cleveland Clinic football forecast show with Tim Alcorn and Matt Douglas previewing all of tonight's high school football action. Cleveland Indians are in town all throughout the weekend. The Tribe taking on the Tampa Bay Rays down at Progressive Field. We will have games 2 and 3 in that series tomorrow and on Sunday. And here to talk Tribe with us is Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our weekly chats with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. Rosie, great to have you on as always. How are you?
What's up, Andy? How are you?
Oh, so far so good, Rosie. Great to talk to you again. And things are going pretty well for the Tribe, taking 2 out of 3 from the Minnesota Twins. And for the Indians, things seem to be clicking. But one guy in particular really has kind of stood out of late, and a guy that throughout the course of the year certainly has been the center of a lot of criticism. That would be Jason Kipnis. But boy, have things made a turn for the better for Kip. Over the last week or so, he seems to be swinging the bat, Rosie, with a lot more confidence.
Yeah, he sure does. As well as he has swung the bat all year, I think it is safe to say, Andy. And, you know, you look at it, and who knows why certain things come together. And it's been an odd season for him because he's been healthy, and yet he has struggled. And in the past, if he's been hurt or banged up or had to spend some time on the DL, it was a challenge. But he was saying earlier this week he feels great and has all year. He just has really labored at the plate. So, it was nice to see that he made a subtle adjustment over the weekend in Kansas City that he thought would help him, and it certainly came into play on Sunday in KC, and now it's carried through. That was the key. You know, would it be just a one-game deal, or would it carry through? And now here we are, you know, almost a week into this where he really is swinging the bat well, and gosh, yesterday was a big reason why the Indians won the game.
Rosie, as great as that news is about Jason Kipnis, some other news coming down the pipe that wasn't as good, and that's the news on Andrew Miller going on the disabled list for 10 days. And, you know, originally I looked at that and I thought, man, that's really bad news. And then hearing Tom Hamilton talk with Terry Francona about that on Indians warm-up, I didn't feel as bad about that. If you can, kind of shed some light on that, on why, sure, going on the DL is not necessarily ever going to be a good thing, but the injury maybe not as severe as some folks are thinking.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And, you know, it doesn't seem that severe. But, you know, I certainly get it where, you know, you'd be concerned because anytime you go on the DL, that there's a reason why. And the other factor in this, too, for Andrew Miller, he was still trying to get time on the mound to iron out some things in his delivery and just get sharper as the postseason comes. So this certainly cuts into that. But from the standpoint of, hey, he's going on the DL and we don't know when he's coming back, that doesn't seem to be the case. It almost seems, you know, I think if you can draw a comparison, and maybe that's not fair, but when Kluber went on the DL earlier this year and got that injection in his knee and just gave it a week or so to calm down and then built back up again and really didn't miss that much time, it kind of sounds like that's what they're doing with Miller's shoulder. So, obviously, the Indians are keeping their fingers crossed because if they could have the same results that Kluber is at since coming back, they'll take it any day of the week. And shoot, you might as well be optimistic, you know, at this time of the year. So that's what they're trying to be.
Again, we're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. And our weekly chats with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, I think it's fascinating when we examine this bullpen, we talk about a lot of names. We talk about Cody Allen. We talk about Andrew Miller. We talk about Adam Simber. We talk a lot about Brad Hand as well. You know, there's one name that doesn't get brought up nearly as often in conversation, and that's Oliver Perez. What a remarkable season he is having right now. At 37 years old, this guy has been as reliable as anybody in this Indians bullpen, and it's one of those things where I think, you know, Rosie, he's been so reliable. He's been so good that in his position, maybe he's not the guy slamming the door, and maybe he's not the guy that's a household name, but he has been extraordinarily good when Terry Francona has called on him this season.
Andy, could you imagine where they'd be without him? Because when he showed up at the 1st of June, the bullpen was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And he, along with Neil Ramirez, who was going through a good stretch at the time, they calmed things down a little bit in that bullpen, and then Perez has gone on and continues to get key outs. He's not out there very long ever. You know, it's usually one or two hitters. but it's at a key point in the game, and you know, they call them high leverage situations, and he's come in and done the job more often than not. And you're right. I mean, obviously we talk a lot more about the guys at the back end and the more high profile guys, but he has been as important in that bullpen as anybody in a year where it's really been a challenge for the Pens. So tip of the cap to him, and you know what? The guy's having a ball. He's been around forever, and he's been with a lot of different clubs, and he's having a great time because I think he knows he has a chance to go to the postseason, which hasn't been all that common in his career, and who knows what the Indians can do if they get there, and he's going to be a big part of it.
Oh, no question. The way he's pitching this year, he will be an enormous part of that. I thought it was fascinating the other day when Hammy had asked Terry Francona about him, and one of the things Tito mentioned was, look, I've got to be real careful not to go to him too often down the stretch here. And I want to kind of give you a chance to elaborate on that. Because of his age, he's 37, he's the kind of guy that's been so reliable that Terry Francona has kind of found himself going to him quite a bit throughout the course of the year. And as you mentioned, Rosie, where would the Indians be without him? But how do you think he handles him over the last month of the season, knowing he really can't overuse him because he's really going to need him in October?
Well, it's the luxury of the big lead that they have in the division. He can more so than game situation, you know, he can say going into a certain day, hey, if I need to stay away from Perez, no matter what happens, I will, because the Indians are going to win the division at some point in time here. And he has to be careful now, too, without Miller in the fold. That's another lefty that's down. So it means, you know, Tyler Olson will get some opportunities. And you know, he already has Brad Hand out there. But he'll do what he needs to do in terms of taking care of Oliver Perez. They're not going to risk something bad happening in the postseason because of overuse in September when they have a 14-game lead. So I think it should be fairly easy for him to monitor his workload, because of where they are in the standings.
Well, let's try and monitor the workload of Trevor Bauer. I think this is such a fascinating story, Rosie. He's a fascinating individual as it is. And I know a couple weeks back when we spoke after the injury was broken down and we were trying to figure out how much time exactly he was going to miss, the idea came up that, boy, if ever there was a guy that could come off of an injury after missing 5 or 6 weeks and not miss a beat, it would be Trevor Bauer. Rosie, what are some of the things he's doing to try and keep his arm fresh? And do we have any idea yet as to what kind of timeline we're looking at before he comes back?
Still no timeline yet, but I can say, I mean, he's throwing, it sounds like he's throwing almost as much as he normally would, but just doing it in a different way. He obviously hasn't had nearly as much time on the mound as he normally would have. For a while there, he still was doing his long toss program in a walking boot to protect the right leg, and he's been able to do some things without that boot recently, but they need to make sure that the bone heals before they really turn him loose. And that's the tricky part right now, because he can do everything he can to keep his arm going and everything else that he needs to be a good competitive pitcher, but they need to make sure that the bone that had that hairline fracture heals properly before they really turn him free. And I don't know that we're quite at that point yet, but it sure sounds like we're real close. And it sounds like once he can get back to his full delivery on the mound, then it might come pretty quick in terms of when he can get back out there, get in a game situation, and try and get enough starts in to where, come postseason, if they need Trevor Bauer to go 8 strong innings, they can get that out of him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, they need to get him back as soon as possible. But as you alluded to earlier, Rosie, it's one of the beauties of having such a large lead in the division. The Indians certainly have some time to get things right. Although now we're looking at about a month left here in the regular season before we get going in October. You know, Rosie, one of the fascinating stories throughout the month of August has been the development and the production from center fielder Greg Allen. Allen was great at the beginning of the month. Now he's gone on a little bit of a slide here over the last week and a half. Have you noticed any differences in his approach at the plate? What might be causing that? I mean, I think his story is interesting. His study is interesting as well, just because, Rosie, he's been up and down throughout the course of the season. And I think from a fan's perspective, it's one of those things we just kind of expect players to get past, but that's just not that simple. When you're up and down, the expectations are a little bit different. You never know when you're going to stick. This has been an interesting year for Greg Allen.
It sure has, and this will be the good test, Andy, because you're right. He's tailed off a little bit, and in the past this season, when you know he's had some good games, and then when he's tailed off, for whatever reason, someone gets healthy or whatever, and he goes back to the minor leagues. Well, he's not going back. The rosters expand tomorrow, so he's here. And, you know, even if they didn't, he's their center fielder right now. They don't have another one, so it's him. And you know, maybe that might be what he needs to get through is, hey, I'm the guy now, and be comfortable with that and excited about it, which I'm sure he is. But he is the guy, barring something happening today on the trade front. You know, he'll be the center fielder down the stretch. There's no one else who can play center like Greg Allen. And if he can continue to swing the bat the way he was when he first came back, and that's, you know, using the whole field, trying to keep the ball on the ground, which he's been really effective at, then I think he'll be just fine. And that's what I think they're looking for from him. So they'll constantly work through it and you know, for him, it's really just a couple of days here where he's tailed off a little bit. And they'll keep working on it with him to get through that. And that's the biggest key in the major leagues. How do you make adjustments and how quickly can you make adjustments to get going in a positive direction again? And that's what he's working through.
Along those same lines, a guy that seems to have made some adjustments and has really begun to stick offensively, boy, Yandy Diaz has been fun to watch. And, you know, Rosie, the Indians, like everybody else, they've had a lot of injuries throughout the course of the year, but I think we're really getting an opportunity to see the depth in this organization, because it's provided, these injuries have provided opportunities for guys like Greg Allen and Yandy Diaz. And with the expansion of the rosters tomorrow, those guys are not going to have to worry about, as you mentioned, having to go back and forth to and from Columbus, because they're going to stick here. Every time you watch Yandy Diaz hit, Rosie, I know maybe he doesn't have the pop they're looking for just yet, but every time you watch him hit, he sure makes the case that he belongs on that postseason roster in some form or fashion.
Yeah, you know, they'll have some tough choices to make when they get down to the end there in terms of where he fits. But, gosh, is there anyone better you'd rather see come up in a pinch-hitting type situation just based on the solid contact that he makes just about every time up? That, as much as anything else, may work in his favor. And it'll be interesting because, you know, in the regular season, you want your backup utility infielder to have a real good usually you want him to have a real good feel for shortstop, maybe have that in his background. And that's why Eric Gonzalez has been such a great asset for this team over the course of the regular season. But short series, you know, you're not worried about giving Frankie Lindor a break or Jason Kipnis a break. They're not going to have rest days in the postseason. So how do you maximize your roster? And that may work in Yandy's favor for sure once we get there.
Well, Rosie, we'll cut you loose on this, believe it or not. You know, we are at the end of August, beginning of September, and the Indians are, for the first time this year, seeing the Tampa Bay Rays. Odd how the schedule works out, but that's the way it shakes down. What are you looking forward to in this weekend series against the Rays, seeing them for the very first time this season?
Well, they're having a lot better season than a lot of people gave them credit for. To be honest with you, Bull, they'll have two traditional starters these first two games, but at least heading into yesterday, they still had a TBA listed for Sunday, and I hope they use a reliever because that's been the big story for the Rays this year. They call it their opener instead of their closer. They use a relief pitcher to start games and then bring on a starting pitcher after that reliever goes an inning or two to get it started, and it's worked really well for them since they've done that, and they don't use it every day. But really, I think they only have two or three full-time, what you would call traditional starting pitchers, so couple of days a week they're using this, what they call the opener, and since they've done that, their ERA is among the lowest in baseball, so it's really working well for them. And I kind of hope we have a chance to see that on Sunday in the series finale, because it's unconventional, it's working for them, and it's been a heavy topic of conversation throughout baseball as to whether other teams will try it. But I hope we get a chance to see it on Sunday.
Very unique, very interesting. So they may end up using an opener, as they call it, in the series finale. Good stuff. Well, Rosie, we always appreciate the time very much. Thank you so much for joining us, and have some fun this weekend.
All right, Bull, thank you.
Thank you again. Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Our weekly chats with Rosie are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. We need to get to a break. We'll take one now and come back for the final half hour of the show. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.